on today. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. Pastor Ben has outstretched arms. Yes. Let's put our arms out today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Outstretched arms. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we bless you on this morning, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for your faithfulness over our lives, dear Lord, your grace and your mercy, dear Jesus, over each and every one of our situations, dear Lord. We are blessed. Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for my husband, dear Jesus. I thank you for the word that was spoken to him on this day, dear Jesus, that will be transformed, delivered to him and through him on this morning, dear Jesus. Let us be blessed. Let us come humbly before your throne and hear the words that you have to say to us today. Let us receive the message in a different, more clearer, greater understanding on this day, dear Jesus. Let him speak with boldness, dear Lord, that we may understand, dear Jesus, and receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. We bless you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on,
Rev. Pastor Ben, trying to call me Rebbe. Rebbe. How's everybody doing?
Blessed.
Are you blessed?
Yes.
All right, praise God. You in Christ?
Yes.
You are very blessed.
Very blessed.
I am extremely blessed. I'm in Christ. And I was watching TV yesterday. And who knows who Deborah Samuel Yakubu is? Have you heard about her? Okay. She's in heaven today. I think she was maybe between 19 and 20, maybe 21. And she texted or sent a message on WhatsApp. That's it. And she was in college in Nigeria. And she put a text on WhatsApp or a blog on WhatsApp and said, I passed my test today thanks to Christ. And the Muslim community in Nigeria were angry that and told her to take the text down. Because they didn't want her putting that text saying that she passed her test and she's thanking Christ. So she said she refused to take it down. And one of the guys that was on the campus that had asked her out, who was Muslim, and she told him that she could not go out with him because she was a Christian and he was Muslim and it wouldn't be right. He became angry and then told everyone that she defiled the name of Muhammad. So they pulled her out of the school and they beat her, stoned her, and then when she was already dead, they set her body on fire. And while her body was on fire, they were still throwing rocks at her. Because she took a stand for Christ and these Muslims in Sokoto, Nigeria, killed her because of this. So I'm kind of doing this message today to honor her because I was really sad about this. I was like, and then they were arresting the people, some of the people that were involved, and the people that were, and so they were holding them in jail, and they had a big crowd standing outside of the jail where they're holding some of the people that were involved, and they thought these people were going to be outside because they're angry at what happened. They were a bunch of Muslims asking for the release of the people that were in jail because they were saying, we're not terrorists, let them go, but they were involved in this. So I just want you guys to know, like, the war between Christianity and the war against Christianity is alive and well in the world, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
We live in relatively a free space where we can go to church when we want, we can say we love Jesus when we want, we can put out a full text about Jesus, but there are places in the world that you pretty much have to hide your Christianity, yeah. Okay? Because people will become very angry. Right. And so I'm sitting there just kind of sad about the event, and the Lord comforted my heart and said, she's fine, she's with me, we're doing good. The Lord like, she's fine, she's with me, we're doing good. And I was like, wow. So it's true, Jesus, like, if you're in Christ, it's impossible to die. And he said, absolutely right. They could only kill her body, but he said most of the pain she didn't even feel because I blocked it, and then she's here. So it's like, we don't know and understand what's going on. And you reminded me because this gang jumped on me when I was like 12 years old, and they were hitting me and kicking me. I didn't feel anything. People were like, you hurt? I didn't feel anything. It was like there was something big around me while they were doing all this fighting. I didn't feel anything. I just got up, you know, and the lady drove me home. So I was like, that's how that young lady must have felt. It's like, God's like, you're not going to feel any of the pain. I'm bringing you home. And so I praise God. I'm going to say this because the Lord told me to tell you, there will be no more worldly big event warnings before the rapture. And the Lord wants me to let you know that. There will be nothing huge to tell people, oh my goodness, it's going to happen, let's get ready. He said all the rest of the days until he come are going to be relatively quiet. So do not look for a big event. Do not look for something. It's going to look like more and more that is getting back to normal, and every day will be relatively normal. And so don't look for a big event to tell you when it's happened. But he said this, and it's the title of today's message, is you are so close. And the Lord really emphasized, you are so close. And the world does not understand the time and the days they're living in. And we have warned, we have given you every mathematical equation of the Bible to let you know what is about to happen. And if the world is not listening, or if there are Christians who have gone back into the world who are not listening, I want you to listen to this, okay? Because you don't understand tribulation. You think you do, but you really don't, okay? So God is like, let them know this is going to have to follow Christ is going to have to be a decision by the individual person, or repentance is going to have to be a decision by the individual person. There's not going to be a big fire in the sky to say, return to Christ, or it's about to happen, okay? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to give you guys that bad news, but it was because it was very bad to me. But the Lord was like, you know what? People need to know that there are people dying for this. You know what I mean? In other countries, there are people that are dying to be in Christ, that are being put in prison to be in Christ. Okay? People are in prison for holding secret Bible studies in some countries. You understand? So there's no other religion in the world that people are going to jail for loving Jesus or for loving their religion. Understand? There's no, but Christianity, you will go to jail for loving Christ, you know, in certain countries. So be aware that this is very valuable. And because it's kind of easy for us being in America, don't think that there's no war against Christianity. There is a big war against us. So let's read. You're in 2 Timothy. You're in chapter 4. Okay, I want to make sure I'm reading the. Okay, here we go. You guys ready? It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ear away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Do we hear that? So God is telling us to preach the word, okay? He's saying, correct people, because I know how we are. I just don't want to argue with people. I don't want conflict. He said, correct people. You don't have to do it in a mean way, but you don't have to sit there and be quiet and they're going, well, I just think Buddha is the way to peace. You can say something.
Right.
There might be nobody else to tell them that that's a lie.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So he's saying, correct people, rebuke people. Okay. Preach the gospel. Okay, encourage people, okay? And he says, with careful instruction. Okay, because this time, and I'm letting you know, is already here.
Yeah.
Where people are only going to hear what they want to hear. And the Bible says they're going to find pastors and teachers that preach what they want to hear. You understand? So last week when I was talking about all these preachers and this NAR movement and the New Apostolic Reformation and all the foolishness that's going in, and I was asking God, do you want me to continue on this? And he said, no, most of those people that are at those churches are there because they want to be, because they're getting to hear and see what they want to hear.
Yep.
If they're not there being deceived or tricked, they want to be there. You understand? Nobody going to Joel Osteen's church is being deceived.
Right.
They all want to be there because that's the message that they want to hear. They don't want to hear sin, rebuke, the Lord's coming. They don't want to hear none of that. They want to hear your best life now. God has things planned for you. That's what they want to hear. And God says they're in the perfect spot for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't really want to hear truth. Okay. So don't try to rebuke people when they're listening to what they want to listen to. Right.
Amen.
You don't go somewhere and say, hey, you're listening to the wrong music. That's country music. I got some rap for you. It's like, I'm a country music fan.
Right.
And you're like, no, it's the wrong music. It's like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Okay. And God said it's the same way when you're trying to get people out of a church where they're there listening to what they want to hear. Okay?
Amen.
So let's continue this because the Lord wanted me to finish reading this. And it says in verse 6. Oh, here, let me read verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations. But you keep your head in all situations. You hear that?
Yeah.
Endure hardship. That means some bad times may come upon you, okay? There's sicknesses, there's deaths in families. Some people have gotten fired. He says, endure hardship, okay? God's got you. Do the work of an evangelist. What do evangelists do? They go out preaching the gospel. God said, do the work of an evangelist, okay? If you can't go out, there's plenty of people right where you're at. You know what I mean? Guy told me he wanted to be in full-time ministry. I said, I'm in full-time ministry right now because I was at work. I said, there's a whole lot of unsaved people here. You don't have to wait for God to put you in full-time ministry. You're in full-time ministry wherever you're at.
Amen.
And he says, for I am ready to be poured out like a drink offering, Paul is saying, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing.
Yes. Yes.
You long for his appearing?
Yes.
Amen. It says, do your best. He tells them to do your best to come quickly. For Demas, it says, for Demas, because he loved this world and has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So he had a guy following him and following Christ, but he said, this guy deserted me because he wants to go back in the world. He deserted me. He said, so send me some helpers, because Demas loves the ways of the world, so he has forsaken me, and he's gone to Thessalonica. And the stuff that was going on in Thessalonica, he was going to party. You got to read that history, because that was a party town. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm going back to party life, okay? So he said, Crescens has gone to Galatia. Another guy was following him, left, and he's gone. And Titus to Dalmatia. It says, only Luke is with me, okay? So he says, get Mark, bring him here, because I can use Mark, he'll minister. But he's saying, look, four of the people that were here ministering with me have decided to go back into the world. And he says, so please send me some help. So we have to know and understand something. God does a lot to get people out of Egypt. I mean, getting out of Egypt was serious. It was no easy task. You had 10 gods that they worshiped, that God was sending plagues to prove to them that those weren't gods.
Right.
And he did 10 of them.
Right.
Okay? The last plague he did was of darkness, and then in that plague he had to kill a lamb. So then now to come out of Egypt, all these innocent lambs had to die and their blood put on your doorpost, okay? So a lot's going on to bring people out of Egypt, and a lot went into having you in Christ.
Yes. Right.
You understand?
Right.
God is situating you to be in Christ. He set you up, certain people to talk to you, certain people to be in your lifestyle, okay? Certain people to encourage you. God has put you in the position to gain life,
yes.
Okay? A lamb had to die for you to even get in this position. You understand? And I'm talking about Christ. So getting out of sin and getting into Christ was no easy task. But everybody that came out of Egypt did not enter into the promised land. I want you to know, I don't care how many once saved, always saved nuts talk to you. Everybody that says Jesus come in my life and be my Lord and Savior will not see heaven.
Amen.
You know how I know? Because a lot of them are going to go back into the world and they're going to say, you know what? I wasn't having the fun I used to have while I was going to church. And all the other kids seem to be having so much more fun than me. Bobby got a girlfriend, and they went to a party last week, and where was I? At Bible study. And then, but there's a thing in Proverbs, he says, I almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wealthy, of the rich, but he said, then God showed me their end, and he's like, oh, then I was cool. You know what I mean? Because you watch what people are doing, and you go, they have this great life, and they don't even serve God. God, let me show you where they're going to end up, though. See, you haven't thought about that. Oh, this is a torment. Those are the worms crawling on their body while they're in torment. Oh, there's their body regenerating itself again so it can go through the same torment again and again and again. That's hell. That's what happens to people that ignore what I've given them in this world to save them from death, okay? And death is not non-existent. Death is you exist outside of the presence of God and everything that God is. So if God is living water, there will be no water where you're at. If God is beautiful music and peace, there'll be no beautiful music and peace where you're at. You understand? Amen. So we have to tell people being born again is a gift from God that you must protect and you must fight for it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord told me to read these three scriptures to you out of the book of Esdras, and he says, and this is should sum up the warning. Because he's saying, you know what? People waiting for something big, so they can go, ah, I told you the rapture was coming. Look what just happened in Texas or whatever, you know? And God says, it's not going to be like that. Listen what it says here. It says, behold, famine and plague. This is in the second Esdras, chapter 16. It says, behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent to scourge for the correction of men. Yet, for all this, they will not turn from their iniquity, nor be always mindful of the scourge, of the punishment that has come upon them. But he says, behold, provision will be so cheap upon the earth that men will imagine that peace is assured for them. You hear what God said is coming? Provision on the earth is going to be so cheap that people are going to think, oh my goodness, world peace has come. This is what we've been waiting for. Because they don't understand that the Antichrist is not coming Antichrist. He's coming in place of Christ. When he shows up, all of those churches, the NAR and all these false teaching churches, you know what they're going to tell people? The Messiah is back. And they're going to believe it. Why? Because their pastor said so, and they never read the Bible for themselves. So it says, behold, provision will be so cheap upon the earth that men will imagine that peace is assured for them. And then the calamity shall spring up on the earth and the sword of famine and great confusion. It doesn't start off with famine and great confusion. It starts off with the gas prices are down to a dollar. And everybody's being given a credit from the government. Is going to start off very beautiful. I want you guys to know, it's going to start off very beautiful. But for them, they don't understand that this false utopia is just what the Bible said is coming. All right? Hey, sister, how you doing back there? It's always good to see you.
Yes.
Then you run out, and then I get to hug you. I'm going to get my hug today. All right, let me go over to the next scripture you wanted me to read. It says here, 36, behold the word of the Lord, receive it. Do not disbelieve what the Lord says. Behold the word of the Lord, receive it. Do not disbelieve what the Lord says. Behold, the calamities draw near and are not delayed. The Lord told me to read that. Third one. Surely he knows your imagination and what you think in your heart. Woe to those who sin and want to hide their sin, because the Lord will strictly examine all their works and will make public spectacles of all of you. And when your sins come out before men, you will be put to shame, and your own iniquities shall stand as your accuser in that day. What will you do, and how will you hide your sin before God and his angels? Behold, God is the judge. Fear him. Cease from sin. Forget iniquities. Never to commit them again. So God will lead you forth and deliver you from all tribulation. So God is promising, if people will wake up and not and stop trying to hide sin, thinking that God doesn't see what you're doing. Look, filthy pictures are filthy pictures, and with filthy pictures come demons, and you don't know it because you're not spiritually wise.
Amen.
All those filthy pictures come with spirits.
Yeah.
And you think it's just you in the room, and you like, wow, I'm getting even worse filthy thoughts than I usually get. Well, guess who's in there with you? A filthier demon than you.
Amen.
This is not new, even in scripture. This is what Solomon got hooked on.
Yeah.
The asterisk pole was pornography. You understand? So you have to understand, if you're going to invite demons in your life, Satan has many different ways for you to do this.
Amen.
But you have to know the time that you are in, okay? Okay, let's start this Bible study. Okay, here we go. Because the Lord want me to let you know, look. There are many religious books in the Bible, I mean in the world. Can God prove to you that he wrote this one? Can God take historical events, prophecies, gematria, and all these things and prove to you that he wrote the Bible? Yes, he can.
Yes.
Okay? I told you guys last week about reading the Quran with this guy, and he told me there was no prophecy in the Quran. There's no prophecy in all of those books. But God says, I want you to know what you're following is true. So I'm going to tell you Israel will be back in the land before Israel comes back in the land. I'm going to tell you 19 years later, they're going to have back Jerusalem. And that's in 2 Kings 25, verse 8. I'm going to tell you 19 years later it's going to happen. And it happened. Okay? So it's God that is proving to the world, look, everything I wrote is happening.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah.
As if Bill Gates is like, hey, what should we call this new cryptocurrency? And what should be the patent number for it? I don't know. Let's go with 060606. Yeah, that would be good. Let's check with the Bible. You think Bill Gates would, let's check the Bible first.
I don't think so.
No, but the Bible already knew he would do that. You understand?
Right.
And so God is trying to show you, I wrote the Bible. You need to know that I wrote the Bible. You understand?
Yeah.
So that you understand you're saving your life by following Christ.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm not talking about your physical life, because that young lady died. And God said, she's with me. We're doing good. So you need to know and understand. God is trying to save your life, your real life. 1,000 years. Reigning and ruling with Christ on earth, you're like, 1,000, I'm gonna live 1,000 years? Yeah, you still gonna look 27. 1,000 years, because you're gonna be in a new body, a resurrected body that Jesus Christ is going to provide for you.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have to understand what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
Daniel Hood told me, he said, when they shot me, he said, I was in a tunnel. I'm on my way to hell. He used to be in this church in a wheelchair. We go witnessing together in a wheelchair. He come to the juvenile prisons with me in a wheelchair. And he would tell those kids, when I got shot and I died, I was in a tunnel and I'm headed toward flames. And I see demon faces on the side of me as I'm headed in the tunnel, and he says, I could hear people screaming, and he said it sounded like a football stadium full of people in complete agony. That's what it sounded like. And he says, I'm being escalated to the tunnel, and I see the flames, and something grabbed me, and I thumped back into my body. And so I said, how do you know you weren't dreaming? He said, I could smell how bad it stunk in there. I could touch the walls. He said, everything was fully functional as if I was wide awake, except I knew I wasn't on earth. So people don't, see, you don't understand. They're not going to be a commercial for this. Satan is not interested in you knowing the truth. There will be no commercial telling you hell is really real and we're going to show you. Brought to you by Slits Malt Liquor. Now that's not going to happen, right? So since you know that your enemy is going to lie to you, you have to understand what he's showing you on TV is for your destruction. Favorite commercial lately. Guy walking down the street and everybody's saying hello to him. Hey, there's that preacher guy. And he's got a bottle full of what?
Hennessy
for him and his mom to drink, on Mother's Day. And they made him look so cool. Like, I'm going to help my mama get drunk.
Yeah.
But that commercial looked good. It was like the cutest commercial, huh? Mom, you're the best to you. So your enemy is lying to you. You understand? He's lying to you. The party they invited to you, it's a lie. Because the people that are there, Satan invited some people too. If it ain't a Christian party, Satan invited some people too. So you have to know and understand what's going on. Now listen, let's look at the board. The Bible has 66 books. You said, well, what about Enoch? If God wanted those books in the Bible, he would have put them in the Bible. Are they from God? Yes, they possibly could be. The reading from them shows that they could be. But God said, I personally selected 66. Okay? Why did he select 66? Because 22 times 3 is a trinity. So this book makes a perfect trinity. Okay? So that means since there are three sets of 22, there's three number one books, there's three number two books, there's three number three books, so and on and on. So there are 22 books of the 22nd books in the Bible. One is the Song of Songs. You know what happens in the Song of Songs? The Messiah receives his bride. You know that? You know what happens in the book of Acts? The wedding. And the church begins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the bride begins to be informed in the 22nd book. Yeah. You know what happens in the last 22nd book? In the fourth chapter? The bride is birthed out of the world and called up to God. And a wedding happens.
Yeah.
So all three books are talking about marriage and a wedding. And they're all three 22 books. Song of Songs has 117 verses. Acts has from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts equals to 117 chapters. These are accidents, though. Okay? Then Revelation happens to be the 22nd book, but verse 20 and 21 is the end of everything. 2020, 2021, 2022 seems to be the end of everything. Let's see, what year are we in? We're in year 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 equals 22, right? But that's an accident. Okay, I'm just trying to show you God is showing me, like, I've done everything to warn them and show them, like, this is the time. But there are going to be no more warnings. Things are just going to seem normal. The only warning you will get is from preachers, watchmen, and people telling you the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But people looking for a 9/11 to happen and all this stuff to happen and another Afghanistan, the Lord said it's not going to happen. So just look for normal days because they're all dangerous. We got Pentecost coming up here. Now, what happened in the book of Acts? I want to tell you something about Acts. You know what Acts is about? First of all, it's about the birth of the church, right? Then it's about Paul's journey from Crete to Malta. When he gets to Malta, it's a beautiful place and everybody's treating him wonderfully. You know what Malta means? Land of honey. He starts his journey from Crete. You know what Crete means? In the flesh. So he goes from in the flesh to the land of honey, and that's the journey of Paul. So this book of Acts is really just an end time book about your journey in the flesh to the end till you get to the land of honey. But it begins with the birth of the church. You understand? Because it's a 22nd book. Then when you get to Revelation, it's going to, now, on Pentecost, and I didn't bring the book, but it reads like this. And Enoch was born on the 6th of Sivan on Pentecost. And Enoch was raptured up into heaven on the 6th of Sivan at Pentecost. So now Pentecost is next month. And we're in this year, 5782. I don't have to keep giving you warnings. The Lord's like, I don't have to keep giving warnings. The only warning they'll get is the preaching that comes from the pulpit of watchers and people who are telling them the truth about what's going on in the world. Because when something happens, the Lord said it only lasts for a little while anyway. It's almost a wasted scourge. Like he said in the scripture, they will see it and see this, and it says it'll only last a moment, and they'll go, oh, I'm so scared. It looks like God is coming back. And they'll go, oh, it's over. Let's go back to the mall. Yep. That's true. So God knows the nature of humans. Is that our thing is things might scare us, but basically we're waiting for our next opportunity to go back to sinning. It's like, okay, it's over. Woo, that 9/11 scared me. It's over. Let's go back to the club.
That's true.
This pandemic is over, right? True. Basically, you know what happened? The strip club opened back up. I was so happy about that. I was like, oh my God, they closed down. Because just to go to the store, you'd have to go the other way, go around, because there's so many cars trying to get in the strip club. I'm like, let me go around on this side, because I'm thinking somebody come out there drunk might hit me. So let me go this way, and I go that way, and then I get to the store that way. But during the pandemic, you could just drive down the street. It was boarded up, no cars. You could just drive straight to the market with no problem. But guess what? It's back. I got to take orange again. So God knows the nature of human beings. So we get to the book of Revelation, and the first thing that happens in the book of Revelation is a trumpet blast, and the church is called up. And so I want to look at the book of Song of Songs today. And so I want you to go to the Song of Songs, chapter 2. There he is. Song of Songs, chapter 2. Let's go verse 10, and we'll read, I think, 10 through 13. It says, my lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of the doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early figs. The blooming of vines spreads their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. That's Christ speaking to the church. Do you know what kind of year it is? When does summer begin? June 21st. When is Pentecost? Around June 6th. So that means Pentecost is before summer. The day that Enoch ascended up into heaven was before summer came. You understand? So she's describing here, or he's describing here, a time where the winter is over, and now you're between winter and summer, and he says, this is the time that I'm calling her out. Go to chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 11. Let's see. Here it is, the church, she speaks. I went down to the grove of the nut trees to look at the new growth in the valley, to see if the vine had budded or the pomegranates were in bloom. You know what? I look out my bedroom window right now, and there's a big old pomegranate tree right in someone's backyard, and it's blooming. Big reds now, you know, the early ones are blooming. And I'm like, okay, this Bible knows when spring is. And so it says the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I realized it, she says, my desire, which is a name for Jesus, the desire of the nations is his nickname. My desire set me among royal chariots of my people. Okay, so she's down checking on the new growth in the spring, and she said the desired one showed up. Okay, her desired one showed up. And he said, he set me among royal chariots. Now, if the numerical value of a chariot in Hebrew is 222, what is it really?
God.
The voice of God. So not only is she seeing a chariot to take her away like Elijah, but she's when God writes it, he makes sure it's spelled 222 so that you know when she's going, she's going to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
As she's being taken up. You understand?
Yes.
Then watch what happens there. This is Israel speaking. Come back, Shulamite. Oh, Shulamite. Okay, now, her name is Shulamite. She's from Shunem, and her name is Shulamite. What does Shulamite mean in Hebrew? Perfect peace, in perfect peace. So wherever she's been taken, she's going to be what? In perfect peace. And it says, come back, Shulamite, come back, that we may gaze upon you. That's what Israel says. And Jesus says, why would you gaze on the Shulamite, who's in perfect peace, as you danced, as the dance of Mehanim? And so when you're studying the scriptures, you're like, well, what happened in Mehanim? Well, that was the time where God told them, David is your king. I'm giving you David to be your king. And what did the people say? We don't want David. They said, give us Ishbosheth. And one of our friends studied the original name was, if Ishbosheth was had to do with Baal worship. So he was a worshiper of demons, Ishbosheth, but they made him king.
Yeah.
Over David. To the point that they had to say, David said, well, I can't be king in Israel. I'm going to have to go to Hebron because Hebron has been given to Caleb, who are Gentiles. I'll go reign and be king among the Gentiles and a few Jews in Hebron, and I'll stay there for 7 years and 6 months. And so David doesn't get to be king. And then after they make Ishbosheth king, you know what they do? They throw a party. They're out there dancing and music singing. Our new king is the worshiper of demons. And Ishbosheth means a defiled man and a worshiper of demons. And they're dancing to it. And God is watching. I said, David will be your king. What are you doing? But here it says in the Song of Songs that she says, they say, come back, Shulamite, the woman in perfect peace, come back. And Jesus says, why would you gaze upon the Shulamite as you danced in Mehanim? And so we know and we see that God is saying, first of all, at the beginning of this, I went down to the nut grove, to the new growth of the valley in the vine and the pomegranate. So now we know it's early spring. It's in the springtime when this woman gets taken up in a royal chariot in perfect peace. Okay? This is a great plan of God. I don't know who's not excited about this, but that has got to be a goofball church. If you're not excited about the rapture, that is a crazy church. What? We don't have to go through the 7 years? No, you don't. Let's go to chapter 7, same book. Then I'm going to, I knew he was going to say that. Chapter 7, watch this. Verse 12. It says, let us go early to the vineyard to see if the vine has budded, if the blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my love. And that's the church speaking to Christ. In the spring is when we get supposed to get this started. And now Enoch gets raptured in the spring, in the spring at Pentecost. Enoch is born in spring at Pentecost. And then and you've already gone through a pandemic. You already saw what happened in 2021. You saw the Afghanistan thing. You watched it. Okay? Now, a friend of mine sent me this. Let's go to, I think it's 2 Kings. I think Thursday. Someone sent us this scripture, and I said, I'm going to study it and see what it says. Okay? I think it's 2 Kings chapter 8. Okay, now watch this. How many of you guys know Elisha, not just Elijah, but Elisha raised a son back to life too? Did you know that? Remember, Elisha did twice as many.
Right.
He did twice as many miracles as Elijah, because he asked Elijah he asked for a double portion of his anointing. Yeah. And so when after Elijah left, he finished his life and he had committed miracles during his life. Elisha committed to 16 of them before he did get a double portion. Okay? Now, listen to this. It says, now Elisha said to the woman in verse 1 of chapter 8. What is chapter 8? New beginning, life, Jesus. How many chapters are in Song of Songs? 8 chapters. How many verses? 117. We're still going around the same clues trying to get you to be a winner. Okay? Here we go. It says, now Elisha said to the woman whose son had restored to life, go away with your family and stay a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman's a widow. Her son was raised to life. Okay? The woman's a widow. That means her husband died. Is Israel married? Is the nation of Israel married? Did they have a wedding?
They had a wedding.
Yes, they married God.
They did. On the mountain.
They can't get remarried because God said, I handed your mother her divorce papers. In the Old Testament, God says, I gave Israel her divorce papers because of her behavior. So God divorced Israel. But Israel still couldn't get remarried. Why? Because the scripture says in Leviticus, she can't get remarried unless her husband dies. Did Israel's husband die?
Yes.
Yeah. Yad heh vav heh above his head while he was on the cross. So God was showing you Yahweh is on the cross dying. Israel, guess what? Your husband just died. You're free to get remarried now, but only in the Lord. That's what the scripture is talking about. Yeah. It's not telling women, okay, if you get divorced and because your husband was just a complete terror in the house, and now you get divorced, you can never remarry again unless you're committing sin. It's not telling you that. He's trying to tell you a prophecy.
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you a prophecy concerning Israel. She got divorced, but she still can't get married unless her husband dies. Christ comes, he is God in the flesh. He says, I'm the same God that told you to come to the hoopah under the mountain, and I'm the one that married Israel and gave you the Ten Commandments. It's the same me. I'm on the cross, I'm dying so that you can get married again. And so now Israel can get married again, but only in Christ. Listen what it says. He says to the woman and the child, go. And he says, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. So her and her son had to leave and go live amongst the Philistines with the Gentiles for 7 years. When the 7 years were over, the king heard about it and said, oh, that's the same woman who God raised her son and then and blessed her, and he says she's back and she wants her property back and her home. Wow. And the king said, grant her all of her property and her home back, but not till after 7 years. So it seems like who's telling the same story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? God is. Do you know right now these people are talking about, oh, we've decided that the tribulation is not going to be 7 years and it's not going to be 14 years. Now they're saying it's going to be 21 years. And they still have a YouTube. Why? Because you don't listen to them. It's just absolutely crazy.
21
years. All right, listen. I'm going to do what the Lord told me, because he said, finish with this. Go back to the book of Esdras. Because he said, I want them to know and understand, you need to be born again if you're not born again. Yeah. There's no other way to save your life other than being born again. That means you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You understand? You have to confess that you believe that he died on the cross and believe that he resurrected from the grave. You understand? Mm-hmm. And you have to confess that, and you have to do it in an aortus verb, meaning it is something I'm making a commitment to not only doing, but continuing in.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to be baptized. I'm baptizing somebody tomorrow via Skype. Yeah, Christine, yeah.
Good.
The one who did your rapping. Where's your rapping picture? Well, you know, MCBD. Okay, anyway, they're getting baptized tomorrow. So anyway, but what I want you to know is this, look. God is trying to warn us. He's trying to warn the world. My call has never been to be an evangelist. My call has been to instruct the body of Christ to be ready. That's what my calling is. I'm trying to instruct you to be ready. I don't want you tricked by the enemy or have you fall asleep because you're not watching what's going on. I want you to know what's going on so you can watch your life and that you can gain life, okay? So I'm back in Esdras, and I'm starting with the first verse that God gave me again. He said, behold, famine, plague, tribulation, anguish are sent as a scourge for the correction of men. Yet for all this, they will not turn from their iniquities, nor be always mindful of the scourge. Behold, provision will be so cheap upon the earth that men will imagine that peace is assured for them. Then calamity shall spring up on the earth and sword and famine and great confusion. That's what the Lord said. You're so close. 2. Behold, the word of the Lord. Receive it. Do not disbelieve what the Lord says. Behold, the calamity draws near and are not delayed. The third one, and this is the last. Surely he knows your imagination and what you think in your heart. Woe to those who sin and want to hide their sin, because the Lord will strictly examine all their works and will make public spectacle of all of you. All of who? All those who are sinning and trying to hide it. And when you sin, and when your sins are come out before men, you will be put to shame, and your own iniquity shall stand as your accuser in that day. What will you do? Or how will you hide your sin before God and his angels? Behold, God is the judge. Fear him. Cease from your sins. Forget your iniquity, never to commit them again. So God will lead you forth and deliver you from all tribulation. And the title of today's message is, You Are So Close. Praise God.
Excellent message.
Hallelujah.